brothers and sisters, also the guests in our midst, we are in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. May He grant us a good service when we hear His word proclaimed to us and when we praise Him with our songs. Let us respond after the greeting of the Lord with Psalm 62, verse 1, 3, and 4. Let us now rise and worship our Lord. Confess with me in your heart, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In His grace, God has established His covenant with us. Let us now ask God's covenant people, listen to the 10 words of the covenant and submit our lives to them as our rule of thankfulness. And let us respond thereafter by singing Psalm 119, verse 1. Read God's word from Exodus 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Using the words of Moses, Christ taught us God's law in a summary, and he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Let us unite in prayer. Our heavenly, gracious God and Father, we love you because you loved us first, Lord. You brought us here this morning to look after us in a very special way. To provide us, to feed us with your word, with your word of love. We need this more than oxygen and water. We're called to love you with an undying love is not a burden or a performance that you ask of us, Lord. It is simply the privilege we share living in response to your everlasting love for us. And Lord, there is no greater demonstration of love in the history of love and affection than the death of your Son upon the cross. Throughout eternity, we'll feel as though we are just beginning the survey of the wonders of this action of yours, this act of salvation, the wonder on the cross. Lord, you didn't lay down your life for deserving friends, but for rebels, fools, and idolaters like us. You love us. You freed us from our sins by your blood. And you have made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God and Father forever. And so it's our prayer, Lord, that you make us familiar with the sound of these words as they come alive with holy passion and fresh delight. Lord, even as we are so dependent on your grace to respond to your love, we also need that grace to stay alive in that love. And to love you as you deserve to be loved. Lord, your love for us is the one constant in our lives. Everything else changes. Everything else is subject to whim and fancy. Now, brothers and sisters in heaven are more happy than we are. But they are not more loved by you than us. Yet if we look at our own life, the way we live before you, our love for you ebbs and flows. And therefore it's our prayer, Lord, give us grace to love you with an undying love. May the cooling of our affections for you bother us more than the economy, or even broken relationships, or political upheaval in this world, or concerns about our health, or getting older, or anything else. Lord, we pray, don't let us get used to the status quo, to business as usual, love for you. If by the Holy Spirit we hear you saying to us this morning, I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had first, may we repent, Lord. May we seek you, may we find comfort with you. May that be the song of our life. Because that is what comfort means. That you love us. And that your Spirit make us love you. And receive your words of love. So our prayer, Lord, that you will open our hearts this morning again. So that we will receive, hear, and believe. Restore in us, Lord, the joy of receiving your word, being loved by you, as your gospel so abundantly speak about. We find consolation in that, Lord, because of our sins and miseries, but most of all because of the forgiveness that we received in Christ. So it's our prayer, Lord, that you will restore us as a loving husband. Restore us as your much-beloved bride. Strengthen us, Lord, in speaking and listening, hearing. And may our heart be focused completely on you. This we all pray, not because of us, but because of your love for us and because of Christ's love for us. And indeed, because of your glorious and amazing name. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the collections for this morning, which will serve now, be collected by the deacons, will be for the needy among us. And in the afternoon, it will be for the children of light. Let us sing after that, after the collections, after the offertory, Psalm 140, verse 5, 9, and 10. Brothers and sisters, in connection with Lord's Day 1, let's open our Bibles and read from the Word of God in Genesis 5, starting at verse 28. We'll read till chapter 6, verse 22, and then after that, chapter 9, verse 8 till 13. We start Genesis 5, verse 28. Lamech lived 182 years and had a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." After he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and had sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years." There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door in the ark in its side. And you shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing flood waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh, in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you and your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark. To keep them alive with you, they shall be male and female. Of the birds after every kind, and animal after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind. Two of every kind you will come to you and to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourselves of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. And now we continue in chapter 9, verse 8 till 13. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, "And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, for all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth." So for our reading from the Word of God, let's now turn to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 1. Question 1, what is your only comfort in life and death? Answer, that I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Saviour, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood. He has set me free from all the power of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my Heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for him. Question 2. What do you need to know in order to live and die in the joy of this comfort? The answer, first, how great my sins and misery are. Second, how I am delivered from all my sins and misery. And third, how I am to be thankful to God for such deliverance. So for our confession, let us respond to the preaching of the gospel with hymn 49, verse 1 and 2. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, some elements in our lives will always repeat itself. They give structure to our life, especially if they occur regularly. Take for example your birthday. Every year on a particular day, you remember your own date of birth. Usually it's a good and a joyful day. Especially when you're young, you look forward to it. Boys and girls, you often count the nights before your birthday. Still 4 nights to go, and you're very excited. And then you count 3 sleeps to go. You look forward to that special day. Both probably for the gifts, but also for the celebrations. And it's very exciting. It's a day which adds a landmark to your life. A birthday is like a kilometer sign on your way to Albany, for example. Every so many kilometers, there's one. And you calculate how many kilometers you've covered and how much you still have to go. And so on our birthday, we see the road of our lives in the rear view mirror. Every birthday is a fixed point on that road. It's like a refrain of a song that recurs. Refrain in the song of your life. Brothers and sisters, today we hear another refrain. We start again, dealing with the catechism, the Heidelberg Catechism, in our worship services. Somehow it's kind of a birthday of a new year of catechism preaching. And on this anniversary, this one refrain keeps coming back. And that refrain is, and that's also the theme for our, for the sermon, I belong to Jesus Christ. I belong to Jesus Christ. And that is my only comfort and consolation in life and death. So Lord's Day 1 is the refrain in the song of our confession. And it's good. We again and again practice that, also today, that refrain. For, beloved, this particular refrain characterizes our life. It's a refrain that recurs in the song of our spiritual lives. Our song of life, that's a song to God. Confessing again and again, I'm yours, Lord. I'm the property of Jesus Christ. As you know, this song of life starts very early. It didn't start on your last birthday or maybe the day you did public profession of faith here in the church. This refrain started on the day of your conception. It's a similar refrain that we saw in Noah's birthday. A boy was born in Lamech's house. And this is not the rude and unbelieving Lamech from the lineage of Cain. This Lamech knew the Lord. And we notice it in the name that he and his wife gave to their newborn child. It's a special name, Noah. Child of comfort, we would say. This son will give us comfort, Lamech said, because of the difficulties, the sin and misery that we experience in this life. And this comfort, brothers and sisters, also sets the tone for Noah's song of life. And during his life, that refrain kept coming back. And this is the first time that the Bible speaks of comfort and consolation. I don't belong to myself. I'm God's. And what a stronghold that was in Noah's life. A stronghold as the people around him kept eating and drinking and buying and selling and getting married. It was a stronghold when he was working on the ark. It was a stronghold when the water began to rise. A stronghold as the wool around Noah starts drowning. A stronghold as he and his family begin again in the clenched world. I don't belong to myself. That was Noah's refrain. That signified his life. Maybe someone thinks, well, is this such a comfort? Is this such an amazing stronghold to have? Maybe for Noah, because he lived in difficult times. But for myself, is that a nice refrain to constantly hear that I'm not of myself? That sounds rather unfree and bounded. It sounds as if You don't have the freedom to come and go wherever you want, being limited in what you think and say and do. As if there is someone constantly watching me, as if I'm always have to be accountable to someone. Yes, this is indeed the case. But is this such a disaster? Would you really want to stand alone? Would you really want to be accountable to no one? Try to image what that would mean. Try to step into the shoes, into the situation of Noah. Can't be too hard to do that. For our days are just like the days of Noah. People keep buying and selling, and they marry and eat and drink, but completely ignore God. And imagine being all by yourself in such a world. You join in, you do whatever you want to do, eat your heart out in buying and selling, going from the one party to another, drinking as much as possible and flirting with whoever you want. What a freedom! But in the meantime, the world rushes towards her own destruction. And you're part of that world towards her own destruction. Because, beloved, there will come a day of judgment. That was the day that Noah entered into the ark. How would you experience that day? If you belong to yourself? How would that feel if the door of the ark is closed in your face and you're left behind? Brothers and sisters, I don't say this to scare anyone, but belonging to yourself or belonging to another, one is fully aware of it in such a decisive moment of judgment. And that's why you often see people on their dying bed reaching out to Lord's Day 1. Thank God I belong to Christ. I'm not of myself. What a stronghold during the last hours of a person's life. But beloved, God says, that is exactly what I want to give you in life and death. That you belong to me in both of those things. They belong together. Also, this we could see in Noah's life. When drifting on the waters amidst all despair and death, corpses of bodies drifting on the water. Amidst that great flood, he was fully aware, I don't belong to myself. I am God's. But it was also a stronghold that he had practiced not only on the day the door of the ark closed, but during his whole life, again and again. From his birth onwards, he was taught this way. And again, he came back to that refrain. It was a stronghold in the godless society of his day. A stronghold amidst a dying world. Brothers and sisters, this only becomes your song of life when you practice it again and again. From your birth, from the moment you came to Christ until the day you die. And it will remain a refrain. It will cover every aspect of your life. And therefore, it is good for us to celebrate the birthday of the Catechism Sermon every year. It helps us to practice together our song of life, to repeat that frame, to incorporate that not only in our mouths, but also in our hearts. Honestly, deeply, I belong to Jesus Christ. But to do that, Brothers and sisters, another thing is needed. For you don't see Noah just walking around in that world of his, keeping this refrain as a secret to himself. No, he shared it with his neighborhood. Well, he couldn't really hide it by standing next to such a big wooden structure, could he? His neighbors thought, we'll save ourselves. Thank you. We don't need a God. We don't like someone looking over our shoulder all the time. Doesn't that sound familiar in our world today, beloved? People around us living only for their country and for their cultural customs. They buy, they sell, they get married, and the guy with the most toys wins. That's what life is about, isn't it? And isn't it sometimes scary how ignorant people can be, completely blind to what is really going on? Imagine what would have happened if all those people in Noah's days had known and believed beforehand that the flood would really come. But they stood there, watching, laughing, when Noah was working on the ark. When Noah was sharing his refrain with them, they just couldn't believe it. And that was exactly their problem. But Noah, he kept on preaching, singing his refrain, embedded in his name, to all who wanted to hear the refrain from his song of life. I belong to God. At least his family and his daughters-in-law believed him. But the rest, they hardened their hearts, as men naturally do. Man does not seek his stronghold in God. Then it's easier to just find your own way in life. It's only when your eyes are opened by faith, only then you'll find him. Only then you realize how urgently you need him and how big the emergency situation is. But then you also see the way out of this crisis and what your needs really are. We're using the words of question and answer to, first, I have to know how great my sins and misery are. And that only happens when you meet God, the Almighty One. When you meet him, his light covers your life. You discover who you really are, how fragile your life is, and how sin damaged you from top to toe in every aspect of your existence. But at the same time, the light falls on him. You get to know him in his love, seeing that he will never leave you alone with your misery. That he is there to save you. That was the secret of Noah's life. Living closely to God, seeing his own misery, tasting this spiritual need for salvation when the rain that kept coming down in buckets full. But he also knew the one who would save him. Those two belong together. That's our faithful communion with God. Saying, confessing, oh how desperately, desperately do I need you, Lord. Also as a Reformed Christian. But what a privilege I have that you are my Savior. That fact can never be taken for granted, though. Noah discovered this too. Particularly in the shape of the ark. Have you ever wondered what the ark looked like? In children's Bible, we often see a huge timber boat with a kind of a house roof and on top. But brothers and sisters, boys and girls, the ark was most probably not a ship. If you look at the measurements God gave to Noah, it rather had the shape of a casket. And I once read that scientifically proven this was the most stable construction of this size in such a devastating flood. However, this Hebrew word for ark occurs only one other place in the Bible, in the ark of bulrushes, which Moses' mother Jochebed made to hide in, Exodus 2 verse 3. Actually, it was a kind of a coffin that she made. The Egyptian soldiers would let that thing go drifting down the Nile when they saw it. Just a casket with a crying baby. And thus was the ark of Noah. No boat in which Noah could defy the course of the flood. It was a casket. Without a sail, without a keel, without a rudder. Noah is not the skipper who retained his boat, guiding it through the stormy waves. No, Noah and his family had to enter a casket with the animals. A floating coffin. And so he is lowered, so to speak, into the death that came over this earth. The first prayer in our form for the baptism reflects on that. So he understood how desperately he needed salvation. And so he also received and experienced God's grace. God showed it to him, to Noah, to us all. For it's not just an automatic thing that you and I are saved of this dying world. We are not different than the people around us, are we? By nature? Their distress and our distress are often similar. We are with the whole world in the midst of death. Only when you see what a miracle it is that we are saved, we understand what comfort and consolation in life and death means. You can never take that for granted or get used to the idea. But beloved, we also see the ark ending up on a mountaintop. As if by a miracle, Noah steps out into a new world, a new life. A miracle, that is. When you're redeemed from death, salvation is only possible through death, through that of Christ. And here we see how extremely valuable his stronghold is, also the one we received. God's comfort. It's not a cheap comfort. It's not a worldly comfort of feeling happy. God gave everything for it, for you to be comforted. God does everything to break the power of evil in your life. It is Satan who strives on the evil in our lives. He is trying to pull us away from the Lord and destroy the covenantal relationship between God and us. But the Lord doesn't just leave it there. You belong to me, I tell you. Noah, and you, and you, and you. And indeed, if there was someone who experienced this, it was Noah. And for the future, he also gets the warranty that God remains faithful, that he will keep comforting his children, that he will keep this earth safe, and use his fatherly power to finish off his work. His saving power is a shield to us. Father's power keeps me in Christ's comfort. And thus we can look at this birthday celebration of the catechism preaching. God continues. God continues with us, beloved. That refrain that lasted from childhood will keep resounding also in the year to come. when the catechism, Heidelberg Catechism, is preached, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, it will remain the support in our life. Whatever happens in the year to come or in the future, through that refrain, we can look forward to the second coming of the Christ. Like many others in the Old Testament, we saw that Noah looked forward to the one who was to come, forward to the price God was willing to pay to get us back, Christ. We read this in Hebrews. It gives depth to our song of life. It makes us understand again that we are not of ourselves, thank God. I cannot save myself, but God can and will. When we celebrate our birthdays, brothers and sisters, we often look two ways. We look back, how did the past year go? And we think about what we received from the Lord, but we also look ahead. How will the next year be? Shall I hold on to what I have? Will it get better or worse? And the same thing happens today at the birthday of the catechism preaching. We look in two directions. We look back. We think about what we have received the past year in the catechism preaching. The blessings of the Lord, His love, His faithfulness, His covenantal promises, His comfort. It's all summarized in this sentence. I belong to Jesus Christ. But at the same time, we look ahead. What will come? Shall we hold on to what we will receive? Will I take that preaching of the catechism, make it my own? And again we say, yes, because I belong to Jesus Christ. Which means in life and in the church, I am not my own boss. I'm bought with the high price of my Savior's blood. He is mine. He's our head. In the church, I'm protected. I'm safe. Because He's the head of the church. Father, through His Son, protects me in the church. Against myself. Against others. He keeps His covenantal promises. And our fellow believer Noah received those promises. The world in which he lived was wiped out. He exists. He exits the ark and steps into a cleansed world. But who can assure him that it will not happen again soon? Who will protect him, so to speak, in the year to come? Will he hold on to that refrain? What guarantees does he have that God will not wipe out everything again? The Lord does. He said, I will not wipe out all living beings by water again. I will continue to keep this earth. It will be a place of living and working for mankind. And I submit all animals under man. The same with us. Brothers and sisters, do you see how Father saves? And how Father continues to save? He's even moving forward. He says, we're going to work out or work on something else. Work on a new world, a new humanity. The humanity in Christ. And you may be part of it by my grace, because you belong to me, don't you? Maybe you are still unsure if you will stay the property of the Lord. Because just like in Noah's days, we live in dark times. The attack of our enemies on our lives, our souls, and that of our children are severe. And look again at Noah. The earth was redeemed through that flood. He stepped into a new world. The earth was clean again. What a great opportunity to begin afresh, a redeemed man in a new life. But look, a moment later, it's all back to square one again. He plants a vineyard. He makes wine from the grapes. And he ended up drunk and naked in his tent. And one of his sons even made a joke from it, mocking his father. Salvation and redemption are not complete in this life, beloved. The lives of God's people are renewed, but they are not without sin. Even if you live to God's glory, sometimes evil bashes right through it. Misery, redemption, thankfulness, they will remain entangled. They will remain part of our lives. Yet together they will characterize the battle of faith we experience every day. My life is in danger. But I thank God that I can flee to my Savior, to His Spirit that renews my life again and again to a life of thankfulness. Together they form the triad of my song of life. But the base of this is the recurring refrain, I belong to Jesus Christ, and I will remain His property. We confess that in Canons of Dort, chapter 5. Study this chapter in your personal devotion time, brothers and sisters. Be comforted by it. It connects with the assurance of Lord's Day 1. For on that road that we go, we are preserved, that nothing will happen to us without God's will. Indeed, all things will work together for our salvation. The Spirit assures us of that. And also of the eternal life that awaits us. So, brothers and sisters, let the Spirit of Christ work in your life, making you willing and ready to live for Him. And then this refrain will not only be yours in this life or when you die, but also on a cleansed and renewed earth. Not cleansed with water like in Noah's days, but cleansed with fire. And on that new earth, our Savior will be the light to our eternal life and of His perfected bride, the church. And we will never have to celebrate today's catechism sermon birthday again, or any other birthday for that matter. For we'll timelessly, forever and ever, be with Christ our Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the consistory has the following announcements. The consistory will meet with deacons, the Lord willing, Monday evening at 7:30 p.m. The Lord willing, we will celebrate the Holy Supper next Sunday morning. Lest anyone eat and drink condemnation upon themselves by eating and drinking in an unworthy manner, you are called to examine yourselves. As we confess in Lord's Day 30, only those who may come to the table who are truly displeased with themselves because of their sins, and yet trust that these are forgiven them, and that their remaining weakness is covered by the suffering and the death of Christ, and who desire more and more to strengthen their faith and amend their lives. But hypocrites and those who do not repent eat and drink judgment upon themselves. So far the announcements of the consistory. Before we draw near in prayer to the Lord, we will remember brother and sister Byron and Rebecca Versteeg. They have received a healthy baby girl from the Lord, Valerie Denise. We also thank the Lord for the wedding of Mark and Caitlin Vuring. And we will pray that the Lord will grant us a good professional faith service that will take place, the Lord willing, this afternoon. Let us unite in prayer. Almighty God, the same God as you are for Noah, you are for us. Thank you for the refrain in his name, for the comfort that you granted him and us, that we may belong to you. And so much stronger, Lord, in the New Testament perspective, as Noah longed for the Christ, and we have seen him. His word came to us. Fully, he has shown us the Father, the love of the Father, and himself when he hung on the cross, to gain for us that comfort and that consolation amidst this life of sin and misery. And we thank you, Lord, that that refrain might also be ours. May we live from it, Lord. Live from your word, confessing your word. Thank you for the comfort that this gospel gives us. Lord, we thank you as our Father for your preservation. You preserve us as you did with Noah. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for redeeming us with the imperishable sacrifice of your blood that you went down, that you died, that you were laid, so to speak, in a casket to fulfill what happened in Noah's days, to move forward, to renew, to a new earth clenched by you. We thank you, Lord Holy Spirit, for your work of sanctification in our lives. Because we could all be saved and just stay where we are. Yet that was not your complete plan of salvation. You moved on, Lord, and therefore you sent your Spirit to work in us, to change us, to renew us. And so we pray, Lord, that we would always rest and trust in your promises and find our only comfort in life and death in belonging to you as we take every step on the road of life. Lord, your care is evident in every aspect of our lives, but also in our life as congregation. You provide love, life. He also gave a healthy baby girl to our brother and sister Fastique. Thank you, Lord, for another covenantal child. That all went well and that Valerie can be safe with her parents. We praise you for this amazing gift. It's vulnerable, Lord. Yet it is under your care. Valerie already has this refrain in her life that she belongs to Christ. We pray that in due time we may witness the sign of that covenant, or those of your promises in baptism. Be with them, Lord, and bless them as a family. Lord, we thank you also for your grace and mercy yesterday when you granted Mark and Kathleen Fearing a beautiful wedding day. Thank you for bringing them together and that we may witness their vows. Thank you, Lord, for your word that also was proclaimed. Comfort them, Lord, be with them also in the way together as husband and wife, so that the blessed day and the joy that they had yesterday, which we thank you for, will remain in their life, so that their life will indeed be a life of thankfulness. Lord, you also work in the hearts of your children, also the younger members in our midst. We thank you, Lord, that some of them came forward and requested to celebrate the Lord's Supper with those confessional members in our midst. And therefore, Lord, they can stand up this afternoon and make their vows, publicly professing their faith. Lord, we pray that you will bless this service, that you will grant your congregation, and especially those members, a service where it's not about them, but about you, about your grace in their lives. Strengthen them, Lord, and may indeed the afternoon service also be to your honor and glory. Lord, we pray for many in this world that are still lost. We pray that you will grant us the strength and the opportunities to witness in this world, as Noah did, telling others the hope that lives in us, the refrain of our lives. Be with us, Lord, in this coming week when we do that in the midst of this world. We'll speak up and show others what it means to have Christ as a Savior. Strengthen us in our task and our work. And if we have holidays and enjoy a time of rest, may that also be to your honor and glory, so that we, strengthened by you in this rest, may regain our task and our opportunities in the year to come. Lord, be with us also the rest of this Lord's Day, this Sunday. It's your day, Lord. We enjoy it as a gift from your hand, yet it's all about you. And we pray that you will guide us in our discussions, in our rest, in everything that we do today. May our focus be on you, and may we enjoy this day to your honor and glory. Forgive our sins and shortcomings, Lord, as there were also many in this worship service. Will you forgive us, and will you change us again? May also our song, the last one they want to sing, be received by you in grace. Hear us, not of ourselves, but because of your mercies, and in Christ's name alone. Amen. Let us now praise the Lord with Psalm 146, verse 1, 2, and 3. Let us receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.